I can talk about this wonderful scripture reading we just read. Thanksgiving offering. This is first time in the scripture you hear or read the word thanksgiving. And as Dan was pointing it out, if you read the whole Old Testament, how many times do you think you'll find the person offering a thanksgiving offering? Can you guess? Zero. This is not one of those required offering. It is an offering about well-being, more like a votive and free will offering. So you offer only when you feel fully thankful. Nobody offered it. Or it's written on it. And maybe a lot of people have offered it. Let's put it this way. We don't have it in this scripture. The other time we may have the thanksgiving coming into our attention is when King David is giving this prayer to God. After he is hearing this wonderful news that God telling him that his family line is secure, his children will inherit the kingdom. God really secures that. You know what? I'm not going to do the same thing as I did to Saul. Your kids are safe. I'll build a house with your name. After hearing that, King David comes to God and says, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" And goes on and on about giving thanks to God. However, he didn't offer anything as an offering yet. Now, why am I giving you this interesting scripture reading? Somehow that's what ancient people, like people who lived 3,200 years ago, might have in their mind. That was a way of kind of offering to God, connecting to God. And that was their way of doing it. And now we celebrate Thanksgiving in America and also other countries too, in a little different names. And we connect it to harvest. Now, if you read other chapters in this Old Testament, it talks about harvest festival. It talks about three appointed festivals in the year. And one of them is around harvest. Actually, two of them is around harvest. Did you know that? One is in the beginning of the harvest. When you have gathered the first fruit, you have a festival, a feast, gathering of feast with lots of people, all of you. And then when you have gathered all of your harvest and put them in your storehouse, then you have festival of ingathering. And then another one is actually a celebration of the Passover. So you have those three festivals. But none of them says you have to offer a thanksgiving offering. So thanksgiving is, or giving thanks to God, is not something that God actually commands you to do it. It's not a requirement. It is a free will offering. If you have it in your heart, something is coming out of your heart, you felt blessed, gifted by God. You cannot help but to say, "Thank you. What shall I give back to you?" That's where Thanksgiving really comes out, actually. American Thanksgiving, however, has a different story. Probably you have learned it in your high school time. So I will not talk all about that one. But think about this. This is the season that moves your heart to think about, how am I being thankful? What blessings and gifts have I had in my life? Now, in the other way of saying, how have I expressed my thankfulness to God, to the people I love, my friends around, or people in my community? That I'll give you as a question to you, and that's my first talk. Well, so Thanksgiving is something that has to be freely coming out of our heart. nobody can force you to thank. I mean, you can say the thank you like as we do to our children. Like we're training our daughter Joanne now, saying, you need to say thank you. And she said, thank you. Has no meaning attached to it at all. She just says it like a parrot, right? Just mommy and dad says, you have to say, thank you. But if you really want to make somebody say thank you from the heart, you have to move the heart of that somebody. Or if you were to say something really thank you have to be moved in your heart. So I was thinking a lot about what to speak of, and probably it'd be good to share with you my experience. So I'd like to tell you three stories that happened in my life that kind of gave me the firm, I would say, in the way of faith in God, or the life that I am choosing to continue. I see meaning in it. So, like to make it as short and brief as possible. First one happened when I was 18 years old in your age, 19 years old in Korean age. I was a senior in high school, very important year. It was near the summer. One morning, I opened my eyes and I felt I couldn't my finger. Some of my fingers are not moving. My whole body is not exactly listening to me. It felt like I have no power in it. It took me about half an hour to move one finger, and then slowly took about an hour to get up and move. And I started my day. It happened a few days. I talked to my mother, and mother took me to hospitals. They all said, nothing's wrong with me. So their guess is I'm just faking it because there's too much stress in being a senior. If you know Korean system of getting into college, like competition is basically only 25% goes to college. 75% is automatically failing. Not even talking about good colleges or best colleges, just college. So there's a lot of stress. But I was sure that I'm not faking or I'm not lying. So I was keep telling my mother about it. So 2 weeks later, she took me to a doctor practicing Eastern medicine who was very renowned in all province. So as we were traveling to him and entering his house, he looked at my mother about like 6 feet away probably and asked her when we came to near him, he asked my mother, did you have a surgery after giving birth to him? That really shocked us because we haven't seen him before. He doesn't know us. We don't know him. Anyway, he told me that you may die in 6 months to 2 years because my heart has this condition that is heart is moving in an irregular way, that it creates all kind of problems in a way. He saw somebody was exactly the same condition as I was and died in 18 months or something like that. Great news. I was 19. And he said, but I have this medicine that may help you. But he was not sure. But this medicine has an actual poison in it. So you have to be very careful taking it. He prescribed this, and we got that. At home, I took first one, really bitter. That was the most bitter medicine I have ever tasted. Horrible. And then that afternoon, my mother took me this lady who also practices in kind of Christian healer. And the lady told me that if you really believe in God, God can heal you. And she does this acupuncture, but without really in an acupuncture way. So she's saying that God's spirit guide her to put those needles. And if you believe, it'll go to the place it needs to be healed. And if you believe, you'll be healed. Somehow, I grabbed that. And I wanted to believe. I wasn't sure I was believing it, but I wanted to believe that. So I told God, God, if you are there, you're listening to me, I'll believe you if you cure me. Well, I'm 19 again, okay? So I came back home. I took all the medicine in the refrigerator. I throw that away. I put that into garbage can. I refused to drink that. And I told God that, I believe you. I believe you're there. I think you can cure me. Well, I'm still here. So I was cured probably after 3 months of acupuncture with that lady. Lots of prayers. That gave me this message. Somehow, I wasn't sure that's Jesus Christ or God written in this Bible. I was Korean. I was Buddhist, halfway Confucianist. I was going to church, but nothing was really serious to me. But I believed there is this being who listens and can do something amazing. And that made my perspective like 180 degree different afterward. That was my first step into this. That's my second talk. The second and the third story happened in here, the States. You know, it'll be great that if you can just learn everything by just one experience, right? Somehow we don't. After having such an amazing experience, but as a teenager, a late teenager, I was seeing much more disappointment in the Christian church I was attending, to the point that I was not sure I can really accept all this Christian theology, which literally was condemning all my ancestors to hell, and my best friend and their family, and so on and so forth. So I was confused. I felt this God. This God gave me miracle, light back to me. But I wasn't sure that God I felt, so loving, kind, and wise, is the same God these people are talking about. It was not really matching. So I left church, and I became a Taoist and non-religious, not spiritual, actually, in that context. I wasn't sure even to believe humanity or the essence of humanity, because as a young man, I saw so much of evil and corruption in the world than goodness and wisdom. So I was, one after another happening, I chose this path to study Swedenborg. I'm just skipping many years. And it was about after 5 years of studying him. I was in the seminary. It was probably second semester of my second year. That's about 4 or 5 years after I'm studying Swedenborg. I was reading it like from cover to cover many times. I wanted to know. I needed to know. But knowing in the brain wasn't really giving the answers. Have you ever felt that? You know, but it has no power to you somehow. I mean, you know it's the right thing or right way to feel, but you don't have that feeling in you. That was exactly where I was. I could describe to everybody about how God is, how lovely, blah, 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 but there was not a single real feeling that was in my heart attached to that knowledge. So I told God that, you know what, this is not good. So somehow I engaged another long conversation with God. And in a way, meditation that I learned from Buddhist. So I started meditation like almost 3 to 4 hours meditation every day. Maybe not sure how long I was doing, quite a while. And one day I was in a different place. And I was taken to probably a deeper side of myself. And you know what I found out? My goodness, all the ugly things that I could ever describe was all there. In a way of saying, I was saying that you all people are wrong. But what God showed me was, actually what was in me was even darker than that. Then I had a vision of coming out of a long tunnel, getting into the light. It could probably take about a couple of hours to describe all that, but somehow in all that happened, and when I woke up, somehow I felt that love of God is present. I can feel it for the first time in my life. God is, I could feel it. And God is love. I was able to feel that too. God really is. And essence of God is love. Meaning, the whole thing that created this universe, including myself, the source of that is love. That was a great, amazing moment in my life that I felt, okay, I'm on the right track. And again, if you could change your whole thing with two experiences, that's great. But it's not. There are more to be challenged. So many years passed, I got married, and I had a great wife and also great son born to me, and I was so amazed and thankful for that. And 1 year, I think that was about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, 1 year, it started with this, that my wife got sick and took to the emergency room. A week later, my son is in the emergency room, just cross over that room. And then I think a week later, my brother-in-law's car was stolen in front of our house and found to be burned. And somehow, the insecurity of the world and my inability to provide and protect my family overwhelmed me. And as a pastor of a small church, I saw myself, there's nothing I can really do. So I told God, you know what, God, I don't think I can do this. I want to get a better job that pays better money. I hope that'll bring better protection for my family. So I was driving to convention that year and telling God, this is my last time. I'm sorry, I tried, I failed you. I'm really deeply sorry, but I can't continue. So I was praying that almost 4 hours getting there. Had a minister's meeting 3 days. At the end of the third day, we had a communion. So we had a communion. I took the wine and the bread. I came back to my seat. As I was sitting and praying, a white light came to me or kind of dragged me toward it, either way. Just like probably what you hear in near-death experiences, I saw the light calling me. Kind of I was in the light after that second. God was asking me, you don't get it. I said, what? You don't really get it, do you? This time, I saw the whole thing happen that I told you, like in 2 seconds. I said, what? Message came back to me again. You don't really get it, do you? And this time, I said, yes, I get it. And I was thinking, what did I get? Weird moment. I told God that, yes, I got it. And then I asked myself, what did I get? And then the message came to me and saying, you don't protect them. You cannot protect them. You cannot give them security. You cannot even make them healthy. You cannot do any of that. But you can give them your love. But I, the voice of saying, I protect them for you. I secure them for you. You do what you're supposed to do, then I will do what I bless you with this. So at the end, God told me, my great wife, my beautiful son, were gift from God to me. They're just gift. I should be thankful, I should feel blessed about them, but I should not control them. I should not even think that I can give them all the happiness in the world. That's impossible. But they are blessings to me, they're gift to me, and promise was that God will protect them and secure them. And I just had to say, thank you, God. And I will do what I'm supposed to do. That's why I'm still here. That's my story. So So think about it. In our life, we experience so many things. We go through a lot. We go on and up. Sometimes we believe, sometimes we don't. But look around. How many blessings do you have? How many gifts have you received? And if you look at that, you can say, you should say, you cannot help but to say, thank you, God. It's amazing. And what can I do? My choice was in the ministry. I told God, yes, God, I'll follow you. Whatever you ask, I'll do. So next move was I agreed to go to Calgary, Canada. We drove 4 days. My wife was pregnant. Have a little boy. Even salary package wasn't that great. I took a loan actually to cover the leftovers. Well, which was okay. Somehow I felt that's what God wanted, I'll do. Maybe after that, came here to meet you. I don't say this is more blessing than Calgary, anything like that, but God is leading and toward the way that somehow is in the more blessings as you follow. So, living a life of thankfulness, where does it start? In your heart. And somehow, you know it. It's all there. So may God bless you all, looking into it, and finding it, and owning it. You have it all. Amen.